Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host, right here on RBN Live today, this 11th day of December, 2023. I got a lot to report. We're going to get right to it, including that yesterday was Human Rights Day. How ironic. Yesterday is Human Rights Day, and they're extolling the importance of upholding human rights while the slaughter is taking place in Palestine. Unbelievable. United Nations, Human Rights Day, 10 December. UN Secretary General, all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights, unless, of course, you're a Palestinian, in which case you're a subhuman, and Israel's entitled to slaughter you. The iconic opening sentence of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is as important today as it was when it was adopted 75 years ago. Isn't that ironic? 75 years ago. That's how long it's been since Israel has occupied Palestine. The Universal Declaration is a roadmap hoping to end wars, heat division, and promote lives of peace and dignity for all. But the world is losing its way. Conflicts are raging. Poverty and hunger are increasing. Inequalities are deepening. The climate crisis is a human rights crisis that is hitting the most vulnerable the hardest, except it's a fraud. I think the UN has got to be a little more careful, a little more patient in picking its issues. Here we have Bibi saying he appreciates the U.S. veto of the UN Gaza ceasefire resolution. After all, that would have caused for them to stop slaughtering, stop massacring Palestinians, men, women, children, all of them. Israeli PM on Saturday said he appreciated the U.S. veto of a Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire, vowing to continue the war in the besieged enclave, which had killed at least 18,000, like, 18,000 is a drop in the bucket. They want all 2.3 million. Other countries must understand it's impossible to support the elimination of Hamas on one side and on the other to call for an end to the war, which would prevent the elimination of Hamas, not to mention all the other Palestinian people that Israel wants to take along with them. They want them all. Meanwhile, here we have a report on Operation Al-Qasa Flood, Day 65. U.S. rushes arms to Israel as Palestinians announce over 250,000 homes destroyed in Gaza. You see, this is an urban renewal project. Israel wants to annex all of Gaza. It wants a vast oil and gas deposits there. It wants to build a Ben-Gurion canal. And there is all these houses, all these structures that are causing a problem. They got to get rid of them. They got to first destroy them and then bulldoze them and cleanse the land. Cleanse the land. Ethnic cleansing. Going on apace. Unbounded. While the world watch on. In complicity. The Palestinian Authority reports a quarter of urban space has been destroyed. Israeli bombardment of Gaza Strip has erased almost 25% of the urban space, according to an estimate by the Palestinian Authority Minister of Public Works and Housing, Mohammed Zayera. Zayera said, a quarter of the Strip has been wiped off the map, as Israel has dropped more than 90,000 shells, the equivalent of two atomic bombs, since October 7th, carbon bombing and flattening entire neighborhoods. That's what it's all about, boys and girls. That's what it's all about. Total destruction. Meanwhile, and get the irony here and how absurd it is, a piece from Oons.com, Jonathan Cook. The West agonizes over an atrocity upsurge while backing Israel's genocide in Gaza. It's just published today. The problem isn't global inaction to prevent mass atrocities, as The Guardian claims. its intense U.S. and U.K. support for atrocities so long as they bolster their global power. Wow. The opening paragraph reports international activists fear the international community has given up on intervention efforts to stop mass atrocities. Queen fears that such occurrences may become the norm around the world. That would be a real surprise, wouldn't it? In practice, this failure, according to the report, has manifested in an abandonment by Western states of the principle of R2P, or responsibility to protect. That's an obligation of an occupying power. Israel is the occupying power in relation to the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Do not forget. The Russian ambassador made that point to the UN early on. Israel has no right of retaliation. None. No right of retaliation. None. No right of retaliation. I'm on the air. I'll call when I'm off. In practice, this failure manifests by the abandonment of the principle of responsibility to protect and related humanitarian pretext were used to justify the U.S. and its allies meddling since the 1990s, variously in Kosovo, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, all of which had disastrous, even monumental consequences. Millions were killed as a result of R2B-type interventions. Tens of millions displaced, leading to mass movements of people that are today seen by Western states in terms of an illegal immigration threat. That's not what we're confronting here in the United States, by the way. That is illegal immigration by invitation of the Biden administration. Absolutely outrageous. Now, yesterday, and Lila was instrumental, rediscovering a piece written by Greg Felton of a speech that Secretary General Ban Ki-moon should have addressed at the General Assembly back in 2009. Listen to this. Address to the 63rd session of the General Assembly on the 60th anniversary of Israel's admission. Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, with each passing year, we come closer to our past. Every year brings it with it momentous anniversaries of events that shape our world. For example, we have recently marked the 60th anniversary of the end of World War II, and of the United Nations, meaning the founding of the United Nations itself. These two events, inextricably linked, form the basis of what we have come to know as the modern era, the post-war era. For me, as Secretary General, looking back, where the UN has started, where it is now, has special importance, for I am now charged with guiding the world body through unknown and uncertain territory. Terrorism has long since replaced arms control and detente as a focus of international security, yet the term defies definition. One country's terrorist is another country's revolutionary hero, or freedom fighter, I would add. Some insist that terrorists are opposed to democracy. But we've all seen democracies behave like terrorists, and many of the freedom fighters are actually fighting to establish democracy. Again, I add, in many ways, the world today does not seem to be very removed from the barbarity of World War. The invasion of Iraq has lasted longer than World War II. More tons of bombs have been dropped on that poor country than all the bombs dropped in that great war, thanks to the United States, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and W. The International Declaration of Human Rights, so prized and venerated by men and women of honor everywhere, stands as an important relic of a forgotten time, because conquest, cruelty, and arrogance are still with us and growing boundlessly. for all the good the UN has accomplished since its founding, and there have been successes, the sheer magnitude of human suffering and violations of international law that have occurred and are still occurring must also be taken into account, especially today, clearly, in Ukraine on the one hand by the Ukrainians, and in Israel today by the Israelis. Here is a key part of what Greg Pelton wanted to convey. Few people know that Israel is the only state to be given a conditional admission under General Assembly Resolution 273. Israel was admitted on the condition that it grant all Palestinians the right to return to their homes and receive compensation for lost or damaged property. The provision is embedded in U.S. General Assembly Resolution 194. Think about it. I dare say the damage being done to Gaza is not just going to run in the billions or hundreds of billions. I suspect it's going to approach a trillion. So you think Israel is going to shell out that kind of money even because it's legally obligated under the terms of its admission to the United Nations? Are you going to make me laugh or choke? Suffice to say, Israel has never been lived up to those terms and never intended to. For 60 years, Israel has violated its terms of admission. And for 60 years, the UN has done nothing about it. It has watched as Israel heaped misery upon misery on Palestine and violated international law with impunity, just as is taking place today. After Operation Cast Lead, no person, no country, no democracy can look at Israel without thinking of the inhuman slaughter and destruction committed by the Axis powers in World War II, though one could have said the same about numerous past massacres. What atrocities might the world have been spared if the UN had refused to admit Israel 60 years ago? Think about it. What atrocities might the world have been spared if the UN had refused to admit Israel 60 years ago? I say, and this was, I think, very much to the point, Israel ought to be expelled from the United Nations for violating the terms of its admission. It has violated them blatantly, egregiously. There's a very nice interview of Norman Finkelstein about Israel's illegal war, and I played part of it on my earlier on my show on Revolution Radio today. But Norman Finkelstein speaks very slowly. Very slowly. So I'm going to leave the link. I'll just say among the points he makes, and I agree with these, the October 7th event shattered forever the illusion of Israeli invulnerability. While I believe it was allowed to happen, and most certainly it's clear that the Israelis using Apache helicopters provided by the United States massacred many Israelis and others at the concert festival so they could run up the numbers, have a more horrific justification for the ongoing slaughter of Palestinians, it shattered the aura of invincibility. Indeed, second of all, because Hamas has been fighting so valiantly, has taken out over 150 Israeli tanks and armored personnel carriers, their military invincibility has been shattered as long with their intelligence invincibility. And third and foremost, I think more weighty of them all in terms of historical significance, the victim card Israel has played since the end of World War II based on the manufactured, fabricated stories of the Holocaust, where the International Committee of the Red Cross, which was keeping meticulous records on the age, the sex, the ethnicity, the religion, and the cause of death of all inmates in 1993, recalibrated their final number. 296,081 died from all causes combined, none of whom from being put to death in a gas chamber. using Zyklon B non-zero. They have, by performing atrocities against the Palestinian people, by acting against the Palestinians the way they claim that the Germans acted toward them, they have sold out forever. They have compromised. They've lost any aura of innocence, any victimhood. They are going to be viewed as monsters forever. And indeed, that part and parcel and justification for booting them out of the United Nations. Meanwhile, other stories, and you can find these endlessly. Israel-Palestine war. Thousands of Israeli soldiers wounded and disabled in Gaza fighting. Israel-Palestine war. Israeli politician, get this one, calls for captured Palestinians to be buried alive. Wow, there's your humane Jew Israelis. They want to bury the Palestinians alive. Bury them alive. I didn't even hear an atrocity as grotesque as that coming out of their horror stories of the Nazis. Meanwhile, despite lack of evidence, allegations of mass rape or fueling genocide, they had to make up stories. In the fact they don't have any witnesses, that no one's coming forward, that they can't substantiate any of this, simply does not matter to them. They want to have a pretext. They're offering on the Kissinger observation that the facts don't matter, only perceptions. Start trading in perceptions, call it propaganda, call it lies. They're telling lots and lots of lies, including about mass rape. I mean, it's ridiculous beyond words. Meanwhile, more. Israeli-Palestine war. Northern Gaza hospital faces starvation amidst Israeli siege. White House says no deadline for Israel to end the Gaza onslaught. This one bears further consideration, antiwar.com. U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor John Finer said Thursday, the Biden admin has not set a deadline on Israel's war in Gaza and reiterated U.S. opposition to a ceasefire. How can we have a ceasefire? That would mean they'd stop killing Palestinians. We can't have that. We can't have a ceasefire that would cease the slaughter of women and children and men in Palestine. We can't have a ceasefire. My God. Financial Times report, the Israeli onslaught is expected to last for over a year. So for over a year, we're going to have the United States sending the bombs, the missiles, the artillery shells, the bullets to massacre Palestinians. I mean, I'm telling you, it's nauseating me even to read about this. Israel ramped up strikes as U.S. backs, blocks, ceasefire demand. Son of an Israeli minister killed in Gaza, IDF announces, well, since their God is a God of revenge, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, how many are they going to slaughter? Because the goyim, the non-Jews, are worth only a fraction, even nothing, virtually nothing in the eyes of Israelis who believe in their superiority in the version of Zionism that their leaders espouse. Maybe not all Christian Zionists really understand what's going on here, but in the eyes of the Zionists, Christians count for nothing. Indeed, you look at the three great Abrahamic religions. Islam recognizes Christianity and Judaism. Christianity recognizes Judaism. Judaism recognizes neither. It's appalling stuff. Be right back.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Younger, so much younger than today.
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
But now
these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Now I find
a change of mind,
I'll open up the doors.
Help me if you can, I'm feeling down.
And I do appreciate you being around.
I mean, the headlines are virtually endless. Inside a southern Gaza hospital, screaming orphan children, amputee toddlers, and the stench of rotting flesh. Israel-Palestine war. Israel forces destroy central archive of Gaza City. Hey, if they're dead, they don't need to read any docs or books, right? How Israel undermined the prisoner exchange by widening the definition of security prisoners. Then at COP28, is it supposed to be on climate change? Critics of Israel's Gaza mass killings face unprecedented UN policing. What in the world? This is from Middle East Eye. Civil society groups Friday accused the UN Climate Secretariat of unprecedented policing of their actions and expressions of solidarity with Palestine at COP28. Climate Summit in Dubai. Officials from War on Want and Climate Action Network International reported that activists have been threatened with removal from the summit for wearing KOPs or pro-Palestinian badges inside the Conference Center Blue Zone, one of the dedicated spaces for protests at the summit, even in the area where you're allowed free speech. You're not allowed free speech unless it's Israeli-approved speech. How disgusting is that? Absolutely. Meanwhile, the newsroom has become a battleground in Israel's war in Gaza. I think we do understand this. Al Jazeera reporting. And in the battle over how the war is reported from Gaza, journalists have been the primary victims. I think as many as 65 have been whacked. 65. Here's one who goes home to be with his family, and the whole house is destroyed. Not only he, but his whole family. That's how they do it. Meanwhile, Israel, Palestine, where Germany cuts funding for anti-trafficking program after chair calls for Gaza ceasefire. In other words, even when there's a worthy program, and I believe this is against child trafficking, they cut the funding because the chair of the committee, the chair of the organization called for a Gaza ceasefire, and that's in Germany? Germany? Absolutely disgusting. Let's pick it up. The award-winning head of an anti-human trafficking program in Egypt has accused Germany of double standards after without funding for the group after she condemned Israel's onslaught on Gaza in a joint letter. Good for her. Azza Suleiman, a lawyer and head of the Board of Trustees at the Center for Egyptian Women's Legal Assistance, told Mod Messer News website Friday that funding stopped at the start of November and that the anti-human trafficking program, which is operated by the civil society organization, had been reliant on the funding. How disgusting is that? Germany, to hell with you. Meanwhile, Israel criminalized a group following a report of a raped Palestinian child. What in the world is going on here? The electronic intifada. Israel designated a human rights group as a terrorist organization after the Department of State inquired about a report detailing the rape of a Palestinian child by Israeli prison authorities, okay? So you get a report about the rape of a Palestinian child by Israeli prison authorities, and Israel designates the human rights group reporting it as a terrorist organization. Do you get the picture? What's wrong with this? Is it understood? Here we have, I think this is very candid, Mondo Vice. I used to think the term Judeo-Nazi was excessive. I don't any longer. A late professor, Yeshana Leibowitz, applied the term Judeo-Nazi back in the late 1980s, referring to former Supreme Court Judge Meyer Landau, who effectively legalized torture. By that description, he made his argument strongly. The state of Israel represents the darkness of a state body. For a creature of a human form whose president of the Supreme Court decides that the use of torture is permitted in the interests of the state. I took it as a kind of moral exaggeration. It was bad. Palestinians were being tortured systematically, but somehow I thought, we're not quite as genocidal as Nazis. Today, I feel differently. Today, I believe the whole world feels differently. Meanwhile, Biden's support of Israel leaves us as isolated as Russia on the world stage. A CNBC analyst reports Washington's stated unconditional backing of Israel, politically, financially, and otherwise, has been a long-standing pillar of its Middle East foreign policy, but it's costing the Biden admin politically, domestically, and internationally. It's short. Wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the
door. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome to my fourth annual False Flag and Conspiracies Conference 2023, a virtual event on the 16th and 17th of December. Outstanding speakers, Ace Baker, Brian Davidson, Fred Lochter, Donald Jeffries, Stephanie Sledge, Dr. Meryl Ness, Giuseppe Vavangulo, Joaquin Gopian, Dr. Reed Labo, Jack Mullen, Joe Olson, Brian Davidson, Monique Lucan, Scott Bennett, Nick Kullerstrom, Russ Winter, Ron Avery, Miriam Hanane, John Kaminsky, Sarah West, all Dr. Catherine Horton. This is something you don't want to miss. 500 free Zoom tickets are available. Register now. Go to falseflagsandconspiracyconference.com/ticket/ to get it now.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Here's a good one to contemplate. The diversity is strength mantra is collapsing across Europe. Whoever thought that was really a good idea? Simply absurd. To have more mixed culture, more people who don't speak English, don't even speak the same language, have different cultural and family values, diverse religions. How is that to be a source of strength? And yet we heard it endlessly. It should come as no surprise, Strategic Culture reports, that hard right political parties have become part of the European political landscape amid soaring crime rates and tumbling living standards as nations' borders remain wide open. Last week, European capitals received yet another brutal reminder that, try as they might, it is impossible to forever tamp down the rise of anti-immigration sentiments. The latest wake-up call came as Geert Wilders, head of the Party for Freedom, won in the Dutch general election, grabbing 37 seats out of 150. The victory comes months after the collapse of the former Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte's government amid infighting over migration policy. And well, there should be fighting, because the open borders policies are simply absurd and indefensible. Here we have a truth seeker about how to eradicate anti-Semitism. It begins with a quote from Shalmut Elnon, a former Israeli cabinet member. She was a minister of education. She won, get this, she won the 2000 Israeli Prize. Anti-Semitic, it's a trick. We always use it to stifle legitimate criticism of Jews and Zionist Israel. If you were to listen to my long piece about World War II and the fabrication of the Holocaust sentiment, I include, but near the end of her with Amy Goodman saying the following. When Amy Goodman asks her about criticism of Israel, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe, if someone is criticizing Israel, we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country, America, people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money. And the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong. And they are strong in this country. So I can get away with this kind of abuse. Bear in mind, it's a trick. They're using it more and more. Meanwhile, Meadowice reports a shift that the American Congress is embracing McCarthyism. It's now generally understood McCarthyism was a dark and shameful aspect of our history. Oppenheimer, the film, made $953 million at the box office this summer. The bulk of the film isn't about the bomb, but the Red Scare attacks that destroyed his reputation. Political repression might be pilloried in films these days, but can you still hear the faint echo of the Wisconsin senator's accusation in any number of policies being pushed throughout the country? One of the most glaring is the GOP ongoing war on libraries. That crusade is mainly waged by just one party. The war on Palestine activism that has emerged since October 7th, however, is a bipartisan affair. Just look at what's happened in recent days. And it goes on to show any number of incidents where anyone speaking for Palestine, especially if they're in an official position, is being pilloried and attacked. Meanwhile, the question is raised, and I think very appropriately, by News with Views. Should traitors in Congress be charged with treason and all manner of crimes? Question becomes, of course, who exactly are the traitors in Congress? It's the responsibility of all citizens to demand a return to constitutional government in the loudest and most effective manner possible. Those who don't are effectively perceived as the enemy. The federal government's powers are limited to the enumerated powers. A majority of our legislatures are minions of the largest criminal enterprise in the world, a parasitic, super-rich ruling class. They don't honor their oath of allegiance to the Constitution and are guilty of all manner of crimes against the people, including the murder of millions and the destruction of entire countries in wars for profit. Congress is awash in the blood of innocents. I couldn't agree more. Well worth reviewing. Meanwhile, rather fascinating, Gateway Pundit reports, Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee, endorsed by Hillary Clinton, loses Houston mayoral race in a landslide. Here's Hillary tweeting, "I endorse and proudly support my friend Sheila Jackson Lee to be the next mayor of Houston. Her relentless efforts in Congress prove she has the experience and vision to lead Houston into the future. She's always been a first champion for her constituents." Hey, she went down to the wire. It wasn't even close. She was crushed in the runoff election. And I think this is totally justifiable. John Whitmer wins the Houston mayoral runoff. Votes? 85,979 for 64.4%. Sheila Jackson Lee, 47,543 for 35.6%. Wow. And that was Hillary's candidate. Sound like it's faring about as well as Build Back Better. Meanwhile, all hell broke loose when Tucker dropped a January 6th bomb explaining that, in fact, the whole damn thing was an op put together by the FBI. Tucker said a couple of the more liberal on-air talent quit in protest over his reporting. He's explained that he got cashed by Fox because he was exposing January 6th as totally fraudulent. At most, Trump supporters thought they were inside the Capitol of part of a legitimate, peaceful protest. At police officers opened the door to let them inside. He continued to question how many federal undercover informants were in the crowd that day and if they played a part in instigating violence. I think a bunch of people quit over that, he continued. Chris Wallace should not be on television, or Jonah Goldberger, you know what I mean? These are people who obviously the audience hated, shouldn't have been there in the first place. But they were so outraged because they said, you know, it seems like there are probably a lot of feds in the crowd on January 6th. He said the record of what actually happened has proven him right. Now, it turns out, of course, they were way more right even than I imagined. The whole thing was a complete setup, reports Tucker Carlson. Meanwhile, he interviews Alex Jones about 9/11. Let's listen to just a little tiny bit of this, because it's really good.
A censored man in the English language, but honestly, when you get him in front of an outhouse in the woods, he doesn't seem so dangerous.
It's a fancy outhouse.
We have a ruling class in the United States defined by its hatreds, not its loves, not its hopes, but by its hatreds. They hate all kinds of people, large groups of people, the deplorables, the bitter clingers, America's entire blue-collar population, the unfashionable people. They're hated by the people who run our country. But no one is hated more by them than a man called Alex Jones. Alex Jones is the single most censored man in all American history. He was the first media figure in our history to be completely erased in one day, deplatformed. Alex Jones was deplatformed before it was a common term. And not just deplatformed, sued, attacked. They attempted to criminally charge him. What did Alex Jones do wrong? Alex Jones didn't rape anybody. He didn't loot Macy's. He didn't burn a police station. He didn't invent a fake cryptocurrency and loot pension funds. He didn't start a pointless war that made this country poorer and more disorganized. He didn't open the southern border. No, Alex Jones had opinions that deeply rattled the people who run America. In fact, rattled a lot of us. And I'll just confess that I first heard of Alex Jones when he questioned the official story behind 9/11. And I, speaking for myself, was deeply offended by this. I didn't take any time to find out what he was saying, but I was bothered by the idea that this defining event in American history, which changed the life of everyone who lived here then, might not actually have unfolded as we were told it did. And that possibility was too destabilizing. And I remember feeling resentment toward Alex Jones for saying that. But several years later, I wound up in Austin, Texas, and through a chain of circumstances, wound up meeting Alex Jones. And I learned what everyone who has met him now knows, which is Alex Jones is not a crazy person. Alex Jones has said pretty far out things on TV from time to time. Not that far out. He hasn't said men can become women or Ukraine is a democracy, but within the bounds of, say, cable news, pretty far out. But fundamentally, Alex Jones is right about a lot of things. And in fact, that's why they don't like him. Alex Jones has an uncanny, really an amazing ability to predict events before they happen. He has called it and he's done it on tape again and again to the point where it's a meme on the internet. Alex Jones, prophet, not conspiracy nut, prophet. But when you dig into Alex Jones's predictions, they are so spot on that it's remarkable. How does he do this? We're guessing there's a kind of spiritual sensitivity to Alex Jones. Maybe that's his secret. He was displaying this years before the average person in this country even thought about matters like that. Now it's pretty obvious to most people that the current war going on in this country is taking place in ways you can't see it most of the time. But 10 years ago, people were not thinking that way. Alex Jones was. And so we thought it'd be interesting to sit down and talk to Alex Jones, the man. He joins us now in our studio. Alex Jones, thank you.
Wow, Tucker, it's great to be here. Amazing studios, amazing, I mean it, amazing people.
And this is really going to be, I think, a historic interview. So thanks for having me.
Well, I'm really grateful to be able to do it. And it's just, it's one of the great blessings of my life and of my job is that I've been able to meet people that I've had preconceptions about and sometimes find those preconceptions bolstered and in other cases demolished. And you're definitely in the second category. So I want, for people who've made it this far, you know, the people around the country have really succeeded in making you disreputable. And the whole point, of course, is people won't listen to you. So we thought it'd be interesting to start with a series of on-tape predictions that you made, some of which are so precise and so prescient that it makes the hair on my arms stand up. And I'm being sincere, and our viewers are about to see what I'm talking about. Here is a list of things that you called ahead of time.
By the middle of September, that the new policy is being written, you all have to wear masks again, and so will airport employees.
It's happening. Mask mandates are officially back.
We know the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to blow up airliners, Baltimore Sun, or if you let some terrorist group do it, like the World Trade Center, we know who to blame. And if there was an outside threat like a bin Laden, who was a known CIA asset in the 80s.
This group and its leader, a person named Osama bin Laden.
He's the boogeyman they need.
We're looking at a giant war in February right now. I predict the Russians are going to roll in. They're already there. They're going to roll in.
With attacks across Ukraine, which is the size of Texas.
It really was the Iraqis. That's just because they're getting ready to invade Iraq. What a beautiful setup.
Those 9/11 clips are crazy. I'm actually bothered by the precision of them. I'm not accusing you of being behind 9/11. But how could you, in July of 2001, call that? You said they're going to have airliners fly into the World Trade Center and they're going to blame a guy called Osama bin Laden. Leaving aside what actually happened, how could you have known that?
Well, in the longer clip, because it's a multi-hour show from July 25th, 2001, I specifically walked through all the reasons and I knew that they were hyping up that we were about to be hit by Osama bin Laden. I knew that the World Trade Center had been attacked the first time and that the feds had been involved helping cook the bomb and allowing it to go forward. And I just saw a lot of the pre-programming that was happening in the media. They were on the news saying, you know, well, life's about to change in America. And I was reading what the RAND Corporation was saying and what the Pentagon was putting out. And I read the PNAC document from a year before, Rebuilding America's Defenses, that Dick Cheney had helped write. And it said, we need a Pearl Harbor event on the American homeland to be able to bring in this police state and this control and then expand the American empire worldwide. So hundreds of pieces of data went into that prediction.
But
it was really good, really good. Everyone's got to watch this interview. Let me say, by the way, that when Alex had his American Scholars Conference in 2006, in June in Los Angeles, he invited me, who had founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth, to present the keynote address on Saturday. And then on Sunday, there was a panel discussion of four of us, all of whom were members of Scholars. Steve Jones, physicist from BYU, Bob Bauman, who is an advisor on Star Wars to multiple presidents, Webster Barkley, who published 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in the USA, and Jim Fetzer, founder of Scholars, talking about the top 10 reasons we know that the hijackers are fake. And C-SPAN recorded the whole hour and 45 minutes and published it 7 or 8 times. I got links to it where you can watch it. Jimmy Dore goes on and talks about Building 7 being a hoax. This is all just terrific. This is good stuff. It's re-legitimized discussion of 9/11. And for those of you who want more, go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and check it out. Just put in 9/11 and look at the special report I did dedicated to Robert David Steele, for example, as an illustration, or the one I did for Germ Warfare, James Fetzer on the 9/11 cover-up, and you'll understand what's been going on. Meanwhile, Nick Gingrich, who keeps his hand in, has given Joe Biden a new nickname, further making him look ridiculous. Former Speaker of the House Gingrich warned Biden's illegal immigration policy is undermining and damaging the United States. They've instituted an open border policy that's drawn millions into the U.S. by breaking the law. Insists we should never discuss the current illegal immigration mess without putting its architect's name on it. And that architect there is none other than Joe Biden. He blamed him. What's going on? Perfectly legitimately. And I'll be right back.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, yeah. The dancing is real easy.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love, love, love.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say but you can learn how to play the game.
Well, let me just add another positive development is that Elon Musk has been open to restoring Alex Jones' role on Twitter, where it was massive in the past. He went ahead and asked, he did a general survey among members asking the following question. Should Twitter offer a general amnesty to suspended accounts, provided they've not broken the law or engaged in egregious spam? Yes. 72.4%. No, 27.8%. How many voted? 3,162,112. The people have spoken. Amnesty begins next week. Vox populi, vox dei, meaning the voice of the people is, as it were, the voice of God. The trouble he's going to encounter, according to Information Liberation, is that Google and Apple apps are likely going to threaten to ban X altogether, as they did with Gab. But with his massive platform, he can organize against him in the way in which Gab could not. I would further add, we have a fascinating development of a Russian space expert asserting that the moon landings were faked by NASA. And that's absolutely correct. The moon landings were faked by NASA. But how nice it is, how refreshing to have it come up. And there's a report about it on Rumble. Apparently there are some edited versions as well. If you have any trouble accessing, check out my, on the 65 shows on jameshfetzer.org, the moon landing hoax, how we know we didn't go, because the evidence is all there. I doubt anyone could actually watch all the evidence I present and not recognize it was preposterous that we didn't have the propulsion power to escape low Earth orbit, that we didn't have the navigating capacity because the computer in use at that time wasn't even a functional computer, and your average cell phone is more computational power than what they had, they claimed, took us to the moon and back. We didn't have the communication capacity over 250,000 miles, which would have required a van the size of a bread truck. And did you notice when Nixon was talking to the astronauts, there was no delay? You don't think there would have been a delay over 250,000 miles? It was as though they were nearby in a facility right here on Earth. And that's because they were nearby, right here in a facility on Earth. And in addition, we could not now and cannot today navigate the Van Allen radiation belt. In fact, a spokesman for NASA, and this is now 10 years old news, said the greatest problem with a manned mission to Mars was navigating the Van Allen radiation belt, not recognizing if we can't do it now, we most certainly could not have done it then. I'll be right back and take your calls.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
You.
Well, this is the second hour of Authentic News right here on RBN Live this 11th day of December. And I'm very pleased to have as my first caller, Peter from Los Angeles. Peter, you are always welcome on this show. Your thoughts today?
Yeah. Hi, Jim. I'm glad I'm the first person because I got to run in about 10 minutes. But I'm calling. In my prior lives, I've been an Army officer. I've been a director of human resources for like several Fortune 500 companies. I also was a consultant at one time, Jim, and the specialty was human resources consulting, which is what I, was doing. And the niche was, it was for Japanese companies in the United States. We would handle all their human resources problems because they were managed and officered basically by people from Japan who had no idea how to navigate the American labor law and workplace. And I've got a lot of good stories to tell about that. But the point is, one of the things that I noticed in working with, you name it, we had them as a client. Is you name a big Japanese company or bank or automotive manufacturer, and we had them as a client. And one of the things that I noticed was a trend was when they came and they opened up a USA, put Nippon Steel, Nissan, whatever it might be. They would bring in American personnel, but there are a couple of positions they never let get out of their control. One, of course, was the president. Another always was the finance guy, and another was also the MIS or the Management Information Services, the computer systems with all the information processing, and that as I watched that, because that way it could essentially be an American subsidiary, but it was still completely controlled by the Japanese. And that's a model that a lot of companies do, but that's what they did, and I saw it firsthand, and that's the way it worked. I want to make another use that as a jumping off point to the history of organized crime in the United States. And a lot of people, Jim, will say that organized crime in a big way, in a national way, formed under Arnold Rothstein, the Jewish odds maker, gambler, guy that tried to game the World Series and the Black Sox scandal. I know you know about that. And other things. He was a great guy. Finally, shot to death in a card game. But he brought in, he's the guy that was the originator for the nationwide model of organized crime that we've had for a long time. And three of his big acolytes were Lucky Luciano, Charlie Luciano. But also there was Meyer Lansky and Bugsy Siegel. Those were his three proteges. And then Rothstein got shot in an argument over a card game or something. And then there was a takeover where Luciano and Rothstein and all these guys, Luciano and Bugsy Siegel and Lansky, took out the reigning Italian crime bosses in New York, and they established the syndicate. And ostensibly, the syndicate, in the way it was, has always been portrayed as an Italian operation, and frankly, it really was not. Luciano was supposed to be the kind of the chairman of the board, and they were very close, even as like late teenagers with guys like Siegel and Lansky. But Lansky was the financial guy. And Siegel was another guy that was on the directorate. And another guy was Lefty Buchholz, and another Jewish guy, by the way, and he was head of the enforcement piece. So we had the head of finance, the head of enforcement, were Jewish controlled. And Lefty Buckholz, or whatever his name was, ran what became be known in the 30s as Murder Incorporated. And they were the strong arm. They were the enforcers of the mob. Lefty was the guy that ran Murder Incorporated, and the syndicate would put a contract out on somebody who was straying from the plantation. And there were Italian components, and Albert Anastasia was the head of the Italian component. But Lefty was the big guy. He headed the whole thing, and he had a Jewish side as well. Albert Anastasia would enforce the Italians, and Lefty and his, again with Lefty being the head, would enforce the Jewish area. And again, there was a bigger Jewish contingent than there was Italian. And they were in the key positions, just like the Japanese, you know. I mean, enforcement, finance, you know, wherever the money is, that's, you know, that's who really controls it, that and enforcement. But at any rate, the Murder Incorporated, which ran from the early 30s up until 42 or 3 or something, or even a little longer, there were people, and some of these guys, Pittsburgh, Phil Strauss, they think may have killed him personally himself over 500 people. That's the scale of murder that was going on here. And you remember the line from Godfather 2 when the Hyman Roth, who was supposed to be Meyer Lansky, takes Michael Corleone aside and he says, "Mike, we're bigger than U.S. Steel." Remember that?
Yes.
And of course, they were bigger. Organized crime was bigger than U.S. Steel. They ran the unions. They ran Vegas. They had Havana. They ran prostitution. They ran drugs. They ran just about all the underworld and blah, blah, blah. And at any rate, the point I'm trying to make is that the information part of it was Hollywood. And Hollywood has, even though the finance, and a lot of people think that Lansky ran the whole thing anyways, he was a real brains, and the enforcement under Lefty Buckholz or whatever his name was, they were the real power. But Hollywood, even since the 40s, has portrayed organized crime as an Italian expression. And frankly, it was not. It was mostly Jewish. And they're not going to give up control of something bigger than U.S. Steel. And I say that, and I want to make one more jump, and that is, how do you control the United States? Who controls the United States? Well, you know, you control finance. The Treasury Secretary, who is... oh my Lord, I'm blanking right now. Jewish, however.
Janet Yellen,
who herself was out of the Federal Reserve. Then the Federal Reserve, they're all Jewish. Virtually every member of the bank and the head of the Federal Reserve, they're Jews. They're all Jews. Then you have the enforcement, just like the mob had Murder Incorporated, run by Lefty. Well, the enforcement is the FBI. In the Department of Justice, run by Merrick Garland, and Homeland Security, run by Mayorkas, and the intelligence community, run by April. The head of National Intelligence is a Jewish woman, and on. The chief of staff to the White House is Jewish, and the one before this chief of staff was also Jewish. And then you have, you know, people who ran all the impeachment things against Trump. They were all Jews, too. Nadler and Schumer, and you can name all the names. Even their witnesses were. Colonel, what's his name from the Ukraine, the Jewish guy from the Ukraine. It was a completely Jewish thing. And so the enforcement, the finance, and of course we still have the same MIS equivalent to our information and all that, and that's Hollywood and the news, which is also owned by the Jews.
Yeah.
And this is just a couple of threads I wanted to put together on who really runs this country.
Yes, yes, yes. I think you've made some devastating points, especially related to the inquiry and even the witnesses when they're going after Trump. And, you know, there are a lot of people who aren't wild about the Donald, Peter. But listen, if he didn't represent a threat to the entrenched interests on both sides of the aisle, they wouldn't be going after him hammer and tong. He wouldn't have all these lawsuits. If he were one of them, they would have gone with the flow and let him become president. He won over 100 million votes to 37 for Biden. My God, you can't buy support like that. And you know, we know they have tried. So I think, you know, if there's any way in which we can recover, I'm convinced it is by way of the orange man. You know, in my view, orange man good. Peter, I like the points you're making. Further thoughts or final thoughts today?
Yeah, I was going to say that Trump was, as half his family or his children are married to Jews, and he won the three of whatever thing in 83. His father, it's like a big award that Jews give to non-Jews who toe the line and are, and his father won it. He won it as well. He gave away, of course, Jerusalem and the Golan Heights. He gave the Israel and the Jews everything they wanted, except a war with Iran and a war with Syria. But the bigger thing was, they looked upon him, not at Trump himself, who caved to the Jews every time it counted, but was his clientele, his backers, MAGA, which. They rule by divide and conquer, and MAGA was mainly white, and it was the first political expression of a white identity that the Jews will do anything to keep from happening. There can be Latino, and there's a million Jewish organizations. There's tons of black organizations. You're not even allowed to say White Lives Matter or whatever. You know, I mean, you're not even allowed to say that. And so they looked upon that, not Trump himself, but his supporters, and maybe that they would move Trump himself, you know. And that's when they absolutely piled on the guy and got him out, really. Yeah. And, of course, it was done with Jewish social media. You know, he couldn't even get on, you know, he couldn't get arrested. Well, he could, certainly, but he couldn't get on the air, that's for sure. He couldn't get on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And if you look for something positive on Google, you had to go to page 25. Because the first 25 pages were Trump bad, Trump bad, Trump bad.
Yeah.
It was all rigged, and it was rigged by them.
And it was condoned
by the mainstream media.
But it's still not working. But it's still not working, Peter. In a story I didn't report from the Republic Brief, end of an era for the RNC, Trump wins. When they tried to do these debates, from the moment of the 2020 election, the divide between President Trump and the conservative constitutionalists on the one hand and the established Republican Party on the other began to widen. The swamp of the RNC has revealed itself, notably with the replacement of the House Speaker and the impossibility of straddling lines between the uniparty leaners and the conservatives. Trump has led the field for the Republican nomination in 2024, far above any other GOP contender, and sees no reason to be part of the televised debates. The other contenders have gone through four, but the RNC has now decided not to continue, giving the unspoken nod to the fact that the only contenders with low numbers in the polls are participating. The nomination is his. And Peter, for all of the attacks on Trump, and he did, of course, do the things you allege, I believe he really believes in putting America first, and that he is the source of salvation for the country, if only we can get him back in office. We may disagree on this, Peter. Your final thought.
I fundamentally agree with what you're saying. And I think that he learned his lesson. He knows who impeached him twice. He knows who shut him out of the media. He knows who went silent on Hunter's laptop and all that at the key moment. And guess who they all are? Guess who ran the FBI, the CIA? Guess who ran the press? And guess who ran social media and everything else, right? And guess who funded the rhinos and all the other people that were the never Trump, anybody but Trump kind of thing in the Republican Party? So I believe that Trump is our best answer here. I do agree with that. I think he learned his lesson, and I think they're terrified of the retribution that will be coming their way if he gets back in power. And I don't believe they're ever going to let him actually living and breathing Trump take the oath of office ever again. They can't afford to take that chance. I think we're
all worried about that, Peter. That was just a marvelous, marvelous call. I can't thank you enough, Peter. Did you have one final thought you'd like to add, or are we good?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter. Love it. Love it. Love it. Reese in New York. Reese, what's on your mind today?
Well, Jim, you know, being that this is the 60th year anniversary of the JFK assassination, and that assassination marks the, to borrow a term, the catalyzing event that allowed America to become ZOG, you know, Israeli Zionist occupied government. You know, when I look at the players here, and by the way, I think Peter from Los Angeles would do well to seek out the information that was brought to light by the two authors, other than Michael Collins Piper. Mark Grubert does wonderful work. I mean, this guy dissects every single character associated with the assassination to the detail. Amazing work, as well as Laurent Goyenot from France. He did the documentary. He ties both JFK and RFK, both being carried out by the Israeli Zionists. Amazing work by those two people. Now, when you look at these, the participants, we could have a mikvah, because they're all Jews, Zionists, and Israeli arms traffickers, such as Jack Ruby. That's not brought out in any documentaries, that Jack Ruby was an arms trafficker. Arnon Milchan, who produced the JFK film, which hid many, many facts from the American public, was also an arms trafficker. He was actually the top arms trafficker. Now, Ruth Payne is very interesting, because she's not an arms trafficker. She's a psionym, and you're going to find many psionym involved, such as the other one is Sam Bloom of the Dallas Citizens Council, who invited Kennedy for his three-hour trip to Dallas. That was Sam Bloom. Sam Bloom is the one that changed the route to go through the kill zone in Dealey Plaza. Ruth Payne, though, is very interesting, because Ruth Payne was actually going after Oswald, and particularly Marina, to pursue her as her lesbian lover months ahead of the assassination to get close to Ruby. Ruth Payne is the one, there's an eyewitness named Grace Pratt that saw Oswald driven off after the assassination in Ruth Payne's car.
Yes. Bruce, thanks for sharing all those thoughts. Bruce, we do appreciate, we don't agree on the facts, but I appreciate your assertion.
I thought you'd cut me off, Jim.
But you got it right. You got it right.
We're limited hangout, Jim. You are.
Hey. Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap. That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Well, just to explain, I had 3 reasons for letting Reese go. Number one, the last time he called, he said the same things. How many times am I supposed to have a guest call in and say the same thing over and over? Second of all, he made the false assertion this guy Bloom had organized Jack going to Texas. That's false. It was Lyndon Johnson. On the pretext of reconciling the conservative wing represented by Johnson with the liberal wing represented by Yarbrough. And third of all, John Connally was responsible for changing the motorcycle route on the 18th in a phone call to Kenny O'Donnell, that I think part of which was even fake. So they would turn off instead of going straight up on Main, which could have got them to the women's forum, to take the turn off of Maine onto Houston and bring into the kill zone. So I just have a low tolerance for Reese being repetition and making assertions that I regard based upon a huge amount of research to be false. So there it is. If that makes me a limited hangout, so be it. I mean, among the participants in the assassination were Curtis LeMay, who is most certainly no Jew, and no Jew lover, who gave a weapon to Jack Lawrence, who fired it and hit through the windshield, hit Jack in the I could go on, but I shall not. Meanwhile, Rick in Arizona. Rick, join the conversation. What's on your mind, Rick?
Oh, a couple of things. I was listening to Super Trump Radio somewhere, and they had a farmer call in who had an op-ed or a letter to the editor for the Wall Street Journal. And the farmers are getting a little shaky. They're scared that if Trump comes back, he's going to start aggravating China all over again, and they think that he's going to end up getting a bunch of tariffs on soybeans. Now, I think that's probably what's going to happen, you know, because, you know, China is you know, a very big aggravation for the Jews for three reasons. Number one, they won't float their currency on the Forex. Number two, they won't induct Holocaust education in their curriculum. And number three, they will not enforce copyright infringement, which is a big business for the Jews. So I see Trump coming back, and he's going to pick up where he left off. Now, that's all I'll say for that. Now, as far as the moonshot, how many days were they in space, Dr. Fetzer, from when they left Earth and then they rotated around and they walked and then they came back? How many days? I'm just asking, how many days was it? Eight, a week? Were they in space?
Yeah,
those
were 7 or 8 day trips. Yeah, yeah, the Apollo flights. Go ahead. Your point?
Okay. Well, here, the number one, the easiest argument I can see about, you know, space, there's no air in space.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't manufacture air in a vacuum, all right? So if you're going to go into space, you have to bring your own air, and when you get to where you're halfway through your air supply, you have to come back.
Yeah.
Now, the proof that you cannot make air in space is because submarines have to come up for air. And some of these nukes, they can do electrolysis on the water, but we don't have water in space. And there was a submarine about 2 years ago by, I think it was owned by Indonesia, that went down to the bottom of the sea that only had a few days left of air left, and they all perished. Do you remember that story?
This is great stuff, Rick. I really like it. Continue.
Well, look at all the contraptions you got to have if you're going to go down below go underwater for 2 hours. You got to have tanks that weigh a ton. You have any idea how much weight you would have in compressed air to leave the Earth and into orbit?
This is a great argument. Let me say, I've never heard this argument from anyone else, and I've heard a lot. This is a really good one.
So it's basically, it's all theater. You can, look at, Von Braun. I read two books on Von Braun, and Von Braun said, man will never travel in space. And he said it this way. He said, it takes 6.7 years to accelerate to the speed of light. All right? And then to stop, it takes another 6.7 years to accelerate to the speed of light. So, I mean, just the closest star is 4 years away. It would take 10 years, 12 years just to get there without killing the human body. So I'm just saying is, my opinion is, this junk that they had on the launch pad that we're supposed to believe went into space for a week and they came back safely, it's all theater. And thanks for taking the call.
Oh, Rick, this is a great call. I thought you were going to go the space poop problem because NASA a few years ago, I put this in the second edition of my book, asked for the public help for human waste disposal because the space diapers they had at the time would only last for like 14 hours. So how are you going to go 7 or 8 days if all you can handle is the disposal waste in 14 hours, showing the whole story of going to the moon and back is nothing but a giant pile of space poop? I really like your call, Rick. Really spot on. Thanks so much.
Yep, bye.
Dan in Washington, as soon as we come back from the break, you're on.
All right, thanks.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. Hey, darling, it's been a...
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here come old flat top, here come grooving up slowly. Got juju eyeball, he want curly roller. He got hair down to his knee. Got to be a joker, he just do what he please.
Dan is watching to join the conversation, Dan.
Hey, thanks. Hey, I apologize if I don't sound all right. I'm going for a walk.
No, you sound fine. You sound fine.
Okay, cool. Trying to use my headphones and my... I've never done it like this. But anyway.
It's working.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't going to call in, but Peter had a great call. And the Mafia and World War II, I heard a great deep dive on Fascination about Lucky Luciano. And basically Mussolini kicked all these guys out of Italy, just as Hitler kicked a lot of them out of Germany. So they come over here. Lucky Luciano helped Patton take Italy back over, as far as I know. He helped organize the Mafia in Italy so that, you know, to sabotage things or whatever, so Patton could come in easier. But it doesn't mean we're on the right side. I mean, the people of Italy, the working man, the average Italian, liked Mussolini, and they were happy that he removed the Mafia. So it just, you know, then you get into, like he was talking about finance, Morgenthau. Morgenthau was the treasurer under Roosevelt, and he had this plan to basically exterminate half of Germany. So it's just interesting how you had the German, I think 90% of Americans didn't want to go to war in Europe. And then what they did was have Meyer Lansky, you had these German boon meetings around the country. I was at a museum in Oklahoma in this little small town. They were all marching in Nazi uniforms and stuff. Because the German boon was big, but what the government did was have Meyer Lansky and the mafia beat these guys up to silence American people.
Well, remember, Dan, FDR, to overcome the isolationism, allowed the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor. Stennett's book on Day of Deceit nails that. And think about it, it's like Bibi orchestrating 9/11, you know, to arouse the American people to take measures against Arab states that had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. I'm kind of overjoyed that Tucker, who's become, you know, a massive force by Fox, letting him go. I think that's going to turn out to have been an historical blunder. I mean, even business-wise, Tucker is driving huge audiences at Fox that hung around for Hannity and Laura and all that. I made that a regular practice. Once Tucker was gone, who cares less about Fox? So they've gone nosedive. Their audiences dropped. The other alternative, CNN, is sold out long ago, MSNBC. I mean, Tucker is becoming a force to reckon with, even suggested as a possible candidate for VP. But the point is, his doing this thing with Alex, this is huge, really good. It's like a renaissance for conspiracy research. They've used that word conspiracy theory to make it sound as though it's all babbling and rumor and speculation. But those of us who are actually dedicated to doing this, it's much, much more. It's getting history right. So I like what you're saying, Dan. Go ahead. Give us a final thought.
Well, there's a great, it's a propaganda movie in Germany called The Eternal Jew. And if you can get the English version, it's great. But basically, it goes over a lot of these mobsters like Goldfinger. Goldfinger was actually a criminal, and he was actually a character on James Bond. But
these guys are like
James Bond super criminals, you know, but they're all over here. Sure. And I think Putin, that's why they don't like Putin either. Putin kicked a lot of them out. So it's like we're repeating history again, you know.
Good call. I'm glad you took time out from your walk to call in. Very, very good, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your day. Charles in Florida. Charles, join the conversation.
Hi, Dr. Fisher. Did you know that Bibi Netanyahu's father was an aide to Vladimir Jabotinsky, who was a Jewish fascist? You know, he was called a Jewish Nazi, you know, during the 1948, his group, these Irgun is really
terrorists,
more fascist than it was socialist or communist.
Right, they were real terrorists, unlike the Palestinians who are not. I mean, there are many real Jewish terrorist groups. You're absolutely right. Nice point, Charles.
Right.
Go ahead, more.
Yeah, and the rejectionists too, the Likud bloc, which is people don't realize that they really are Jewish fascists. I'm not saying anything about Hitler or Mussolini. Mussolini made the mistake regarding what he called nationalist Jews as being legitimate, you know, in Italy. And he had followers, Bibi Netanyahu is a follower of, his father was a direct aide to Jabotinsky. So people don't realize that. So he believes in being a strong man, you know.
Right. And, he's overplayed his hand.
Of course.
He's the most despised person in the world today, I guarantee.
Well, a lot of the people that were gunned down by those helicopter gunships, you know, and November 7th were peaceniks, you know, Jewish peaceniks, and they were and the IDF and
right,
you know, they just mowed them down, you know.
Of course, you meant October 7th. You meant October 7th. Your point is impeccable, October, and they mowed them down using Apache gunship provided by the USA. If we weren't providing all these weapons, they couldn't be slaughtering all these Palestinians, Charles. Very nice call. Charles, thanks very much. Jerry in Chicago. Jerry.
Hello, Dr. Fetzer. Hello, and thank you for taking my call. You know, we're just real quick, and I can do this in less than 2 minutes. I bought a new truck in February of 2020. And it was a diesel.
I hope it wasn't an EV.
No, absolutely not. I don't believe in those, except on the golf course. But anyway, fuel was $2.18 a gallon back then.
Yeah.
Diesel fuel right now is right around $4.19.
Yeah. Now
okay, it's
up.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's $2 more a gallon. Okay. Yeah. And so you know what? When Trump runs again, I'm going to vote for him in the primary. I'm going to vote for him in the election. And if he doesn't win, I'm done voting. I give it up. But is as good as every, you know, where everybody's pushing Trump compared to Biden. Yes, that is true. But Trump did quite a few things that irks me. He accepted the Kabbalah Tree of Life Award from Israel. And he says it was his most prestigious thing he's ever got.
Yeah, I know.
Whose side is he on?
Well, look at it this way. They don't want him back. So obviously he's on someone else's side, because if he were their guy, they'd shoo him right in and go with the flow. It would be effortless to get him reelected because everyone wants him. But they don't. So that's the strongest argument for why we should stick with the guy in spite of his warts and all. Final thought, Jerry, you want to tie in?
Oh, there was one other thing, and I already forgot it. So, hey, you have yourself a great day, and thank you.
Jerry, you can call back again, my friend. I'd be glad to keep you on here. Paul in California, or are you in Nevada? Where are you, Paul?
Hey, I am where I am, wherever I might be. that was a very interesting call from Rick in Arizona, actually. And I just happened to, you know, think to myself, so I was watching last night Apollo 13, the movie, which I'm sure that you saw, and you probably enjoyed it.
Tom Hanks.
As well. Yeah, yeah. It's an enjoyable movie, right? I'm assuming that you probably had, when you saw the movie,
yeah,
had a positive
movies.
Impression as well.
Yeah, a perfect
it's well
fantasy.
Done.
Go ahead, yeah.
Well, I was going to say it's all a lie. In fact, I'm not sure if I ever sent you the paper, the particular PDF that Miles Mathis did on just that movie, Apollo 13, but he deconstructed it quite thoroughly. And yeah, it's all made up. And the other thing that was interesting is I actually have a book by Wernher von Braun. I think he wrote it in the 50s, if I'm not mistaken. I picked it up a long time ago at like a used bookstore, and the title of the book is The Mars Project, actually Das Mars Project in German. And it was a whole thing about his ideas or proposal about how we might get to Mars. So I just thought it was interesting in terms of what Rick had said about Wernher von Braun realized we would never go to space. And that may be true. You probably have seen the what's supposedly on his tombstone, for example. And anyway, I just thought I would throw that in there because I think from the start, NASA has been lying and faking things. And I don't believe we've ever been on a low Earth orbit. And that includes sending these probes to Mars. I don't believe that's ever been done as well.
Yeah. Paul, you're welcome to throw these things in anytime you want. Give us a final thought.
No, that's it for the moment, and I'll have some more things to talk about with you later regarding somebody that we know in the network. So,
well, you sound great, Paul. It's a real pleasure. Thanks for the call, Patrick in England. Patrick, Patrick in England, join the conversation.
Yes, Patrick. Hello, Jim. Great to be on your show. I've been on other people's shows, but never on yours. You can tell by my accent I'm across the pond. Yes, of course, I could make comments on so many different things listening to the other callers. But yeah, back to the moon missions. The thing that did it for me was that we saw, allegedly, and I was just around 5 years old when that first happened, we allegedly saw a live television broadcast of that scene of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, you know, on the moon, yeah. You know, descending, yeah. First, you know,
yeah.
We, yeah, basically the lunar module did not have any power generators. Now, all they had was this battery power, supposedly, and now the Crystal Palace, just south of London, there was a famous transmitter. It was called the Crystal Palace Transmitter. It was a television transmitter that for the analog signal was 100 kilowatts, 100 kilowatts of power, and that was just about enough to push a TV signal about 40, 50 miles before you started to need repeaters. In fact, you probably need repeaters for then. So basically, they're saying that with the inverse square law, which is a formula about how the signal rapidly dissipates with the distance, basically, that they were able, with a few fuel cell batteries and a little aerial, to push a signal 250,000 miles, even the low battery one, nine times the distance. I mean, put it this way, with a shortwave radio ham and the right conditions, you with 25 watts, using ionospheric skip propagation, you can push a signal halfway around the world with 25 watts at the right conditions. They're talking about doing 9 or 10 times that distance and with a television signal as well, which is a much bigger bandwidth. Even a low bandwidth one is much bigger than audio. So that's what does it for me, that there was no, you would need massive power generators. Even in the vacuum of space, I do not believe that you could send a signal such a vast distance, even the low bandwidth one. So anyway, that's my say.
Patrick, that's just wonderful. Your accent and your speech not only reveals your origin of nation, but your high intelligence. I'm very impressed. I wonder how many Americans thought when Neil Armstrong was making that first small step for man, that great leap for mankind, if he was the first man to step on moon, who set up the TV camera? I mean, it's all ridiculous, well, Patrick. And the earlier argument about the lack of oxygen was equally brilliant. I like both of these calls. Further thought, Patrick, your final thought?
Final thought. Well, just changing the topic of conversation. I do believe that he is the real deal. Did you know that in his Oval Office he had a portrait of Andrew Jackson? Now, Andrew Jackson was the guy that said no to the third private central bank, which is obviously he wants to get rid of, because he knows that that's what's bankrupted America. 98% of the value of the dollar gone since 1913. And I think that Trump has been quoted saying, it's no good having to tell the people. I have to show them. And apparently he said, I'm going to have to show them, when he lost the last elections, I'm going to have to show them how bad things are going to get. You see, he just can't go around arresting people. He has to have things in place for optics. That's why he wasn't able to do that much. That's why one of the callers talked about that award that he accepted. He had to go along with that. He had to go along with Fauci. You can't just, you know, it's there for optics. But if that's why they are desperate. They are desperate not to let him in. I mean, he is a target.
Patrick, you're more astute student of American politics than most Americans I know, and you're welcome on this show anytime. I loved your call, Patrick. I can't thank you enough.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Oh, okay, my pleasure. Have a good evening.
Cheers. Renee in North Carolina. Renee, join. We're going to hit the bump. Well, actually, let's see if we can kill the break. Go ahead, Renee.
Well, I'm an independent, so I'm on nobody's side, and I see the good and the evil in all demographics, okay? You have to ask yourself, if you notice, most Jews in positions of power in the government, they were not elected. They were appointed, okay? It's like, who's appointing them and why? And why does, and is, who has controlled this country, most of the positions of power from the beginning were occupied by the Anglo-Saxon, okay? So it's like, why did they, like, why did they all of these politicians almost genuflect in front of Henry Kissinger? He was never elected, okay? He's just one example. Okay, Blinken, appointed position. If you go looking at it, most of these are Jews were appointed, not elected, like, except for Schumer or whatever. But it's like, most of them, it's like, you have to ask yourself, why? There's such a small percentage of the population, and why were the predominantly Anglo-Saxons in charge appointing them to these positions? Like I say, and I'm only asking why. And, you know, the thing is, I'm glad one other person mentioned it. It's quite amusing how on Wernher von Braun, and NASA, which is terribly corrupt, okay, not run by the Jews, okay, that's pretty much the Nazis. So the thing is, on his tombstone, it has only one thing. It says Psalms 19:1, okay? And when you look that up, it mentions the firmament. Now, some people say that firmament refers to the dome over the earth, okay? Now, it's quite amusing that von Braun would put that and only that, like, except for his date of birth and death on his tombstone. You have to admit, that's like woo, 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 woo. I mean, that's kind of strange, oh, okay?
Yeah. And the X-Files music you're alluding to. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
so it's just, you know, there's some, we're born into such a world of lies.
You know, Wernher von Braun led an expedition in 1966 to the Antarctic to collect moon rocks that had been dislodged from the moon's surface by the impact of small asteroids and caught in Earth's gravitational field, so it could be presented as evidence that we'd actually gone to the moon and they were real moon rocks. They simply hadn't arrived by the mode of transportation alone.
Yeah, it's like there's so much we don't know because we've been lied to about practically everything our entire lives. That's why I never plant my foot too firmly in any one belief where if somebody doesn't present me with evidence, I can't go, oh, oops, lied to again. You know, some people are just so, so darn sure. And like I say, we live in such a cesspool of lies. There's very little we can be so sure about, you know. Even though we have figured out so much in 60 years, face it, there's still stuff we don't know about the JFK assassination because they lie so much. And, you know, that all goes down to the CIA.
You are a wise woman, Renee, and I'd keep you longer, but I got three others in about 3 minutes to do it. Francis in North Carolina. Francis, a short take today.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, young man. just two questions, whenever they be answered. One, where did Jones get his intel, info, whatever the case might be, that he basically spits out to the public eye or ear or whatever the case is? The second question is, I'd like to know what reason was it that the Jewish or Israeli hierarchy of government and military refused him or refute him now. What did he do to cause that to happen, that they want to just spit in his eye and say, go to wherever you wish to and go leave us alone?
That's Alex. The Israelis don't like Alex. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I'm just wondering where he got his intel and information from. That's what I'm wondering. Oh,
I agree with that. That's a real good question. That's a real good question, Francis. What's your drink for the day?
Just a shot of mead and a Bloody Mary for the folks in Gaza. That.
Thank you.
Have a great
Thanks, Francis.
Later.
I got it. John in Michigan. John, go ahead, quick.
Yes, I have a friend here who belongs to an auto club, and one of the astronauts is a member, and he asked him one question. He said, how could a flag move on the moon when there's no wind? And
astronaut says, that's a good question.
Yeah, that was a real screw-up. If you look at conspiracy theory, did man land on the moon, which was not put out in 2001, it really triggered my interest in this. You see the flag waving, and there is no atmosphere on the moon. John, that was excellent.
That was from an astronaut.
Yeah, I like it. He was being candid. He didn't want to lie to you. Catherine in Virginia. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, John. Squeeze.
No, you're right. You're right. That's why he said, that was a good question.
Yeah, good. A good call, Lovely. John. I'm just pressed today. Catherine in Virginia, Hi. You're last. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you doing, James? Right. So, good point about the Jews not being elected. Another one who was never elected was Robert Moses of New York, New Jersey. But anyway, I wasn't going to call in because I know you're very dead set against us having gone to the moon. And there are so many arguments, pro and con. But one thing I always wondered about, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? One thing I
we
always
hear you.
Worried
we hear you.
About is, so I'm listening to this, and I agree with everything that you say, and yet, so what's going on with Elon Musk that he's supposedly going to the Mars? That's all a lie. And I also always wondered if it was, it could have been something to discredit the Germans who ran NASA, but it also could be something to make it that, that we have this nuclear bomb, which some people say we don't have a nuclear bomb, and that was, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were simply firebombs, and the reason that we know that is because they were continuously occupied. But maybe they have a bomb since then. I mean, we just don't know all this stuff.
Let me give you a clue, Catherine. Space program makes a lot of money for people who would otherwise be living impoverished lives because they have little to contribute to the good of society. Thanks for your call. Everyone, spend as much time as you can with your family, friends, people you love and care about. We still do not know how much time we have left. Thanks. Great call.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Julie.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Good job.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.